What's unique and interesting about the American elections is the debates that they have, and many are asking, why don't we have similar debates in South Africa? Imagine having, you know, on one stage, President Jacob Zuma, as well as Musi Memani, Julius Malema, all together. Salim already smiling, thinking of the prospect of how entertaining it would be. Anyway, listen to this documentary that has been prepared by Ummi Mohammed Umar, focusing on the debates in the American elections and how that impacts on the elections itself.
An audience of about 100 million was expected, the largest ever for a U.S. presidential debate. The anticipation was huge. The build-up had been relentless. But the reality is American presidential debates are really the game changers. This time, however, we are told it's different. There were so many new dynamics on the stage. There was the man versus woman contest. There was the experienced politician against the political neophyte. There was the reality TV star against the candidate who seems to hate any media attention. Most people, however, had already made up their minds on those candidates. The debates may provide a few more snippets of information to those wavering, but people tend to cheer their chosen candidate. So why was an audience of about 100 million expected, the largest ever for a presidential debate? If there is such a thing as a political circus, this is the main show in the ring. The presidential debates are generally considered the last big opportunity to move voters before the election. They offer rare moments for Americans to do some head-to-head comparison shopping between two candidates on the same stage discussing the same issues. And yet, according to the numbers, the debates have done little to change the fundamental structure of the recent presidential races. Does that mean debates never matter? No. They give the media a chance to hold a candidate's feet to the fire. They give voters a way to see how candidates handle the pressure of a big audience in a prize fight atmosphere. They give the candidates a chance to close the deal or one last chance to raise questions about the opponents. Considering the high-stakes moments that the debates create, one might expect them to matter more to the bottom line. But remember, debates happen late, very late in the campaign. By the time those candidates hit the stage, most voters have seen and heard from them over and over again on TV, online, in the newspaper, and on the radio. Voters' images of the candidates are usually well-formed. How much do the debates even matter anyway? It seems the effect of general election debates has been overhyped by some. There's little historical evidence that they've ever swung polls by more than a few percentage points. General election debates aren't like primary debates. They are strong partisan loyalties. The vast majority of debate viewers have already made up their minds about who they're voting for, and few are willing to change their minds because of what happened in one debate. But in a close race, with very polarized electorate, a shift of just a few percentage points could matter a great deal. And even if debates don't swing the presidential outcome, if they help or hurt a presidential candidate by a few percentage points, that could have a domino effect in the down-ballot races. Again, the potential of debates to completely shake up a presidential general election campaign has often been exaggerated. Experts say the data shows overall that big changes in the polls during debate season just haven't happened in recent decades, but it also shows that small changes of a few percentage points or so are common. Although the debates themselves last for just 90 minutes, the spin war in the media over who won lasts for days. And some political scientists have found that watching media coverage of the debate can do a great deal to shape perceptions about what actually had occurred. Depending on how high your estimation of the media is, you might think that the media's view of what happened will bear at least some resemblance to what actually happened. But the media often chooses to pull out and focus on just a few moments of a 90-minute long event.
He lost the Iowa caucus. He lost the Wisconsin primary. He said the Republican primary was rigged against him. Then Trump University gets sued for fraud and racketeering. He claims the court system and the federal judge is rigged against him. There was even a time when he didn't get an Emmy for his TV program 3 years in a row, and he started tweeting that the Emmys were rigged against
him. Should have gotten it.
This is a mindset. This is how Donald thinks. And it's funny, but it's also really troubling.
Groupthink can also be a powerful force particularly when journalists are all reading each other's Twitter feeds. Different media outlets could come to different conclusions about what happened, and that can make an impact on viewers. In other words, viewers begin to think the winner of the debate is the person the media wants them to think had won. Nevertheless, and obviously, viewers can conclude that a presidential candidate won a debate without deciding to vote for him or her. The media judges Trump by extremely low expectations, and this could really affect how some viewers understand what happened.
Are you saying you're not prepared now to
What I'm saying is that I will tell you at the time. I'll keep you in suspense.
Oh! Oh, suspense! Democracy is going to end with a cliffhanger. I guess we're all going to have to wait until November 9th to find out if we still have a country. If Donald Trump is in the mood for a peaceful transfer of power, or if he's just going to wipe his fat with the Constitution.
Also, Hillary Clinton was leading Trump by 9 percentage points. She and her supporters could possibly have felt confident that the debates would be highly unlikely to change that. However, since the debates, she now has a lead of less than 3 percentage points. There are a handful of factors, however, that suggest that this year's verbal sparring between Democratic nominee Hillary Clinton and GOP nominee Donald Trump could be different. This time, the stakes might match the hype. Debates don't take place in a vacuum. There are a small handful of events going on in the final weeks of campaigns that can also affect polling numbers.
On Fridays, you can imagine, you called what you said locker room banter. You described kissing women without consent, grabbing their genitals. That is sexual assault. You brag that you have sexually assaulted women. Do you understand that?
No, I didn't say that at all. I don't think you understood what was said. This was locker room talk. I'm not proud of it. I apologize to my family. I apologize to the American people. Certainly I'm not proud of it, but this is locker room talk.
That means even when polls do move, it's very hard to prove the cause of that.
Friday's bombshell announcement in the investigation of Hillary Clinton's private email server has rocked the presidential campaign.
What do you think of FBI Director James Comey's decision to send this letter just 11 days before the election, the announcement creating shockwaves?
And that they found emails that may be pertinent to the case. Now, he wouldn't say maybe pertinent unless they were pertinent.
And that we could end up with a president-elect who conceivably, nothing will happen, could be indicted after she's become president.
The Wall Street Journal and NBC News recently released a poll which showed that roughly a third of both Clinton's and Trump supporters would not say that they would definitely vote for their chosen candidate. Political scientists say there were a number of people who might have been leaning toward Trump, but had been looking to see if he could harness his worst impulses and could come across as halfway sane. Had he done so, he might have attracted a portion of that undecided vote that just doesn't want to vote for Hillary. All in all, the higher percentage of undecided voters does put a higher ceiling on what the debates accomplish. But even if the debates do shift the polls, does it have a consequential impact on the margin separating the candidates? In a commentary about the third and last 2016 United States presidential debate, political science lecturer Robert Lowry says there had been many issues where both candidates had wandered far from the initial question. Their position paper on a website is no substitute for the live give and take with a moderator and an opponent.
You can go to my website. Tim Kaine and I wrote a book called Stronger Together because I want you to know what the agenda is and I want you to hold me accountable. I want people to say, hey, you know, I saw where you wanted to do more.
Some say the presidential debates can be game changers. This is a belief almost universally held by political pundits and strategists. Political scientists, however, are not so sure. Indeed, scholars who have looked most carefully at the data have found that when it comes to shifting enough votes to decide the outcome of the election, presidential debates have rarely, if ever, mattered. The small or non-existent movement in voters' preferences is evident when comparing the polls before and after each debate or during the debate season as a whole. A more careful study by political scientist James Stimson finds little evidence of game changes in the presidential campaigns. Stimson writes, there's no case where we can trace a substantial shift to the debates. At best, debates provide a nudge in very close elections. An even more comprehensive study by political scientists Robert Erickson and Christopher Woolesian comes to a similar conclusion. The best prediction from the debates is the initial verdict before the debates. In other words, in the average election year, you can accurately predict where the race will stand after the debates by knowing the state of the race before the debates. Erickson and Woolesian had concluded that the evidence of the debate effects is fragile. So why are presidential debates so often inconsequential? After all, many voters do pay attention. Debates routinely attract the largest audience of any televised campaign event. And voters do learn new information, according to several academic studies.
I will release my tax returns against my lawyer's wishes when she releases her 33,000 emails that have been deleted.
But this new information is not likely to change many minds. Moreover, the debates tend to attract viewers who have an abiding interest in politics anyway and are mostly party loyalists. Instead of the debates affecting who they will vote for, their party loyalty affects who they believe had won the debates.
I think my strongest asset, maybe by far, is my temperament. I have a winning temperament. I know how to win.
The 2016 presidential debates were not like some past bombshell debates with one catastrophic or shocking moment that had overshadowed the rest. Perhaps the most crucial aspect of Clinton's performance that succeeded was her defense of her Wall Street speech remarks leaked by WikiLeaks, which suggested that she thought presidents should behave differently in public and private. This is a potentially very harmful story for Clinton that, to her great fortune, came out at the same time as the even more harmful Trump tapes.
And when you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything.
Whatever you want.
Grab them by the I can do anything.
The source of the hack is believed by many, including the U.S. government, to be connected to the Russian government, which is in turn thought to be backing Trump. There is no better illustration of the soft bigotry of low expectations than the fact that several smart, normally spot-on political observers saw the same debate as everyone else and declared that Donald Trump had won. Others do say the fact of the matter is that Trump had been losing even before the tape came out, and even if the saga ends now, the tape release could very possibly cause permanent damage all the same. Trump was behind to begin with. Commentator Waleed Ali has pledged to make no more jokes about Donald Trump between now and the U.S. election. Ali said laughter initially had seemed like the only response for someone as ludicrous as Trump, but now the Fairfax media columnist says it's time for that to change. He says sexism is no laughing matter, racism is no laughing matter, inciting violence is no laughing matter, sexual assault is no laughing matter.
He has really started his political activity based on this racist lie that our first black president was not an American citizen.
Indeed, the world now waits on the November 8th date with destiny. Both hopefuls have spent a considerable amount of time trading barbs and seeking to denigrate each other in a manner that some have said more resembles election contests in some third world countries. They've expressed surprise about the manner in which the candidates vying to lead what's believed to be the strongest democracy in the world have conducted themselves. The emphasis had been on personal insults. The expectations were for greater substance and a clearer focus on issues, but these were largely relegated to side banters. As a result, the critical issues that the world wanted to hear more about were lost, as each candidate traded insults and heaped accusations on each other.
As soon as he travels to 112 countries and negotiates a peace deal, a ceasefire, a release of dissidents, an opening of new opportunities in nations around the world, or even spends 11 hours testifying in front of a congressional committee, he can talk to me about stamina.
The world, let me tell you, Hillary has experience, but it's bad experience. We have made so many bad deals during the last... So she's got experience, that I agree, but it's bad, bad experience.
Was there a winner? Did any candidate do enough to enhance their chances of winning the election on November the 8th? The ability to withstand pressure and show fortitude in the face of challenges is one of the qualities that Americans have extolled over the years in their leader. Who would show signs of snapping under pressure? Each candidate said enough damaging things about the other that was either designed to unsettle and create cracks in the armor. What kept Hillary Clinton in good stead was the practice and preparation she had, the reinforcement that under no circumstances could she display less than a firm control of her emotions. She did this during all three debates. Trump's insistence on little or no planned preparation, preferring instead to ad-lib and go ad hoc, opened him to inappropriate reactions when prodded. These led to a consistent reiteration of statements generally regarded as unstatesmanlike and often undiplomatic and unbecoming of a candidate seeking to enhance his reputation amongst undecided voters. In essence, Clinton showed more of the resilience and fortitude that Americans are said to expect to see in their president. However, neither candidate really distinguished themselves nor significantly enhanced their credentials to become the president of what they both call a great country. Data has shown that candidates are more likely to lose support through gaffes and unfortunate comments during debates than they might gain from articulating their position through the debates. The most critical of the debates is the first, where the voters and undecided look to see what character traits will emerge. This, it has been shown, is the really formative and influential period. Trump, by virtue of going into the ring largely unprepared or unpracticed, had failed to impress, and this is where he began to lose support. The second and third debates was more of the same, a demonstration of who could hurt the other candidate more. The third debate looked like it might very well have had exchanges in keeping with expectations of greater focus on issues, but that debate turned after 35 minutes into a free attack on personalities and sense of commission on either side. Clinton showed greater temperament for withstanding pressure, while Trump again lost the plot and seemed to believe he was once more on the set of his reality television shows. As the third debate culminated in Trump's angry outburst and his denigration of Hillary as being a nasty woman.
Such a nasty one.
Presidential language? Certainly not. Does he need the female vote? Maybe not. So an evaluation of a wide range of poll results has shown by the end of the first debate, most minds had been made up and there was very little change thereafter. Further, the post-debate polls have shown that these debates may not win new support, but could cause a candidate to lose support.